Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, we had quite a year last year. The listening audience, the overall rating of our show nationwide is number three in the nation. And we've been doing some things because you deal with facts. You don't talk about what you feel or what you think. You got to talk about, deal with facts with people, because if you don't, they will try to figure out something to nail you. That's what they do. But I'm ready for them. I'm happy. The Sample of the Year Award was a tremendous hit. We had more than 10,500 people to vote, which is huge. You can't get 10,000 people to go to the polls here. You know, you can't even get 3,000 people here in Benton Harbor to go to the polls. But yet we had people voting and doing a great job. People understand how important the Sample of the Year Award is. It's such a huge thing because we have to make sure that we're doing all the things we need to do. You know, like the politicians here, you know, the elected officials here, the people we have elected here has become like wolves, like rabies infected wolves who know nothing to do but to devour the poor and devour the weak and devour our children and our women. Their job is to more or less devour us. And they're doing a great job, because a lot of times people don't get it until it's too late. You let a group of people come together against you, and they will, if they're working, if they have a agenda that's designed to do that and have the tools, they will do it, you see. But I'm not going to waste my time or energy dealing with these people. I'm going to deal with the symptoms. That's what I'm going to deal with. I'm not wasting my time on these people anymore. You know, they're a waste. You're not going to get anything out of them. You know, there's a thousand Muhammad's around here. There's a thousand, you see. There's a thousand Sikhs around here. There's a thousand Hindus around here. There's a thousand white Texans around here. There's a thousand Jerry Evans around here. There's a thousand Isons around here. There's a thousand of these people, you know. They're everywhere. There's a thousand. And everywhere you look, they are there. That's what this is all about. So you have to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. And you can't worry about what they're doing, you see. See, I don't get mad at anyone about anything anymore, you know, because I can't control what you do. I can't do that. I just get better understanding of who I am dealing with and make a proper adjustment. That's what I do. I don't, like I said, I don't get mad at anyone about anything anymore. I don't do that because I know it's a waste of time. I just get better understanding of who I'm dealing with and make the proper adjustment. See, that's what you have to do. You have to be able to make that adjustment. And I think that's one of the pitfalls for all these years that I've been fighting. We've been successful, but I just believe that there's a better way of dealing with these people than the way we are now. You know, every year you elect someone to go into office to serve you, and they flip on you right in the middle of work. It's like riding a horse you know, and you're riding a horse that can only run a quarter of a mile, and the length is a mile. You see, that's what that's all about. Well, in my thing this year, I'm telling everybody, there are no rules here. All I'm trying to do is accomplish something. That's it. For the people. It's all about the people. It's always going to be about the people. It's never going to be about a Reverend Pittman. Never. You know. Sometimes they try to make it like that, but it's not going to be that way. Just about things I know that you don't know. And I have to admit, I do know a lot, but I'm not the smartest person there is in the whole wide world. And I ain't going to fool nobody trying to tell them I am. But just remember, not everything that is faith can be changed. But nothing can be changed until it is faith. That's right. That's right. And you must always be willing to truly consider the evidence that contradicts your belief and admit the possibility that you might be wrong. That's right. You might be wrong. But I don't care what we say, what we do, we got to remember this. Anytime you beg another man to set you free, you would never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourself. You have to be able to take it. I know there's a lot of people talk about reparations and stuff like that, but can you imagine what would happen? Can you imagine this, what would happen if they voted to give the people reparations? Can you imagine that? You know, the people that are coming in from the border, they're getting reparations. They're not telling people that. They're getting everything that we should be getting, you know. And I must confess, see, we're so divided up that we don't even know which way is up. And they got us just where they want us, fighting with each other over nothing, giving one something and letting him build up himself, thinking that he sees better than the next person. This is what they have done. They have went to work. They have planned it, and they executed their plan. You see, now what they're doing, they're putting guns into our community. And by putting guns into our community, reason unknown to me, I will never, ever, ever understand this. You got a gun, and the person you go out and shoot don't have a gun, and somehow you think you're a bad boy. That doesn't make any sense to me. It's not like you need. It makes you what you are, a coward. And let me say that to these men and women, I'm going to talk about the women first. You women out there, I know a lot of these women having babies at such a young age, they don't know nothing about being no mother, you know. And most likely, even the grandmother may not even be 30 yet. You know, we got all kinds of stuff going on. Here's what we got to start teaching our children, you know. Make sure that person you lay down with is the person you want to live the rest of your life with, especially if you have a baby. If you have a child, you should be thinking about how you're going to take care of that child and educate that child. Because what we have now, we have people running around thinking that a gun makes you tough. And that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. I never heard nothing that dumb before. And you got to remember, you have to do what you have to do in order to make things happen. As a woman, now there's a few exceptions not to this rule. A woman cannot teach a young man, a boy, a baby, to be a man. She can't do it. Some have gotten through the cracks. Since I've been talking about that, people have stopped me at the came to the church and want to talk about it and stuff like that. And I have to tell them the truth. Because there's some things a woman can't teach a boy to be, and it can't teach him to be a man. Because she's not a man. She's not a man. So she cannot teach a boy to be a man. One thing she can do is she could teach him to be respectful to women. You see, that's where we drop the ball at. We start allowing our children to call, use the B word, call the mother, allow her son to call her B. And I think last week I talked about this little boy, must have been 2 years old, could have been more than two. He started calling his mama B and started hitting her. You know, didn't I tell you B? He couldn't have been no more than two, you know. But he was able to say the B word and was wailing on his mother, calling her a B. Now, that's too far. You know, if I would have been, that would have been my child, his booty would have been smoking. It would have been a fire on his butt because he would never ever say that word again. Because that's how you have to teach him. You have to discipline your children while they're young because they get up to a certain age, it becomes a problem. But a lot of people don't believe in spanking their children. Well, you're creating a monster. If you don't discipline them, you've got to discipline our children. You know, we're different, you see. And that's why we're in this position today. And you men out there, let me say this about you men. Anytime that you put yourself into a woman, anytime, she better be the woman that you want to live with if you're willing to go back. See, that's what a mother can do. She could teach her son that if you put yourself into a woman, you're telling that woman that you want to have children by her and live with her to take care of the children if, for some reason unknown, you get pregnant. That's the rule, you know. Nowadays, you know, people have baby showers for people who are not married. They and I have an issue with that, but that's me. I got an issue with that, you know. But that's me. Just, you don't have to agree with me, though. You know that, and you know, I'm just putting it out here because you might have some ideas you want to run past me. You see. But I want to make sure people understand how important it is to build a foundation for our children. That's where we drop the ball. We drop the ball. I don't care what nobody said. We dropped the ball. School used to be one of the main things that we always talked about. You know, now you come home, nobody talking about school. Nobody. They're not talking about where's your homework. They don't even give homework no more. I don't understand that. That's why children is not really in tune with school. I remember my dad, we didn't have no homework. He said, make some. I don't care about them not giving you homework. I don't care about you about them not giving you homework. You better have them homework when I come home from work. You better have them homework, and it better be on the table, and it better be finished. That's where we have to get back. We got to get back to old school, you see. We got to get back to things. And you guys out here, you know, listening to this rap music, and you're letting them degrade us. You're letting them call us the B word, the H word, you know, your mama is a hoe and all this kind of stuff. Crazy stuff, you know. I know you said something about somebody's mama, you had to fight in your life. I'm just glad we didn't have them guns back in them days because a lot of people be shot, you know. Because we didn't let, one thing you're going to do, you never let nobody talk about your mama. I don't care what it is. You never said anything about someone's mother. Now you can talk about somebody and call her a crackhead and all these different kind of things that you can do now. You can call her a crackhead and for reason unknown, it's okay. It's not okay. We got to start rebuilding. And we got to start rebuilding from the ground up. This is where we at right now. We got to start rebuilding from the ground up and make sure that we're taking care of our children and making sure our children are doing the right thing. Because you got to have that foundation. You see, you can't. I'm not going to let. I'm not going to let anyone disrespect black folks. I'm not. And support them. You see, I'm not going to do that. I will not support anybody who disrespects black people. Some black people need to be disrespected, but I don't do it around me. You see, I will not a sexual predator who attacks women, who attacks men. I will not support anything like that. I will not do it. I don't care what is going on. We got to clean up so we can build up. You know, we're at war. This is a war. They're battling us from all angles. You got the courthouse, one of the most racist institutions in the nation. The court system is the most racist institution in the court system. You have a white judge most of the time. Even if you have a black judge is not for you, ain't gonna do nothing to help you. You're gonna have a white prosecutor, you're gonna have him. You're gonna have a white court appointed attorney, you're gonna have a white clerk, everything's gonna be white. Well, that's how it is here. And most courts I've been to, even in Detroit or wherever I go, all I see is white folks, you know. And I found out that we have to make sure we have to change, you see, before they can change. Because they're counting on you to keep them working. That's right. They're counting on you to keep them working, you see. And that's important. You know, can you imagine all the hell we have been through? Think about this for a second. All the hell that we have been through, and we got black folks working with them against us, and we don't say nothing. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? We got all this going on, and yet we want to be like the enemy. How can we say we want to be like the enemy? They have destroyed, or they're trying to destroy us, slowly but surely. Let's make a commitment this year that women, I don't want to hear you calling yourself a bee. You're not a bad bee. You can forget about that. You know, you're not a bad bee. You know, how can you be a bee and a queen? Either you're a queen or a bee, you know. And I'm calling you the queen. That's how I look at it. And here's something, you're not a hoe. You see, that's just as bad. And you guys, I know that, you know, the more bees you use, the more money you make on your records. They want you to degrade the black woman as much as you can. You see? So her self-esteem is low, you see. Women nowadays normally have the apartment and they let guys move in. Guys don't really want to work. But you should not be trying. You should be looking for a career, guys. You should no longer be just be looking for a job. There's so much that you can do, you know, that you can go all over the country and take your talent with you, you see. I don't want to never hear the word B again. I don't. I don't want to hear the H word either. I don't want dudes calling women B's. I don't want dudes calling women hoes and stuff like that. I don't want women calling themselves, I'm a bad bee. I don't want to hear none of that stuff. None of that stuff is not going to get you anywhere. Take care of your children and take care of them correctly. You see, when they step out of line, pat that booty. That's right. Don't listen to what they say, because either you take care of them and discipline them now, or the state will. You got, you know, you got your two choices. And you don't want the state taking care of your child, crying like a baby. You know, some of these mothers get on TV after a son has shot somebody or they done got shot, stuff like that, crying, oh, he was such a great child. You may go somewhere and sit down. You knew he wasn't no great child. You knew what he was. But yet you get a chance to get on TV and say that crap, you know. That's what I have seen. That don't mean all of them. Don't get me wrong. That don't mean all of them, but that means most of them. But I'm excited to start the new year all right, because I want our women. I'm gonna try to make this a more of a female show, because I want our women's to be built up. I don't want them with low self-esteem thinking that they have to accept anything. That's not true. That's not true. The women, you know, I know that you always say, I don't need a man. But your child need a man. That's if you have a boy. And you guys walk around here you may have your children, which is a good thing. But you can't raise no girl to be a woman. You can't do that. You can't raise your daughter to be a woman. You can't do it. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much knowledge you have. You can't do it. Because there's certain qualities that a woman has that she has to teach her daughter. You see, that's important. She got to have that. And you as a man, I mean, a woman cannot teach a son to be a man. And a man cannot teach his daughter to be a woman. So get that through your stick ahead. Let me move on. I want to talk about McDonald's money. We spend no money on fast foods on Monday. No money. No money on fast food on Monday. Tuesday, lottery. I know that lottery is $1 billion now, and everybody think they're going to win it and going to try to go out and run it. But on Tuesday, if you do it on Monday, I can't be managed, okay? You do it on Wednesday, I can't be managed. But if you want to bring a lottery, that's you. I can't tell you how to control your life. But what we want to do, we want to boycott these days. We want to make sure they understand that. That's important. We want to do that. Wednesday, no Walmart. None of these marketplaces. We're going to keep our money in our pocket. Thursday, no gas. None. Thursday, no gas. None. Do not spend your money on gas on Thursday. Don't do it. Do not do it. Friday, don't go and get your nails done. We're not spending no money with these foreigners. Japanese, Chinese, Koreans, Indians and Arabs, all of them, we're not spending no money with them. We're not even buying fingernail polish on them days. So we don't want you to go get no weed. We don't want you to get none of that stuff on Friday. So Monday, no McDonald's, no Burger King, no Henry's, no what's that other one, Wendy's, none of that stuff. Tuesday, no lottery. Wednesday, no Walmart. Thursday, don't buy any gas. Friday, do not spend any money with these foreigners. On that note, I'm going to bring in my first guest, Minister Shea, and I'm going to let him tell us his story. Because I tell you, I just received another letter from him, which I thought was very, very exciting, and I am so happy that he's able to be with us today. Mr. Shea, talk to me.
Bless your heart, Reverend Pinckney, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord's holy name. I'm so glad to be able to speak with you again. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you very well.
Very well. There are a number of things I wanted to speak about. There are a number of things going on locally. A white man shot a 13-year-old black boy, killed him dead, got out of his truck and shot the boy and killed him. I don't know if you've seen that up there in Benton Harbor. But it's a clear hate crime. But the county prosecutor let the man out of jail. It was some kind of a technicality, but he's still out on the streets. And we had a big rally down at the State House the other day to get rid of the county prosecutor, Gary Tyack, and to rearrest the man who shot the 13-year-old brother, little melanated boy, the black boy. So that's one of the local things that's going on here that we're fighting, trying to find out why the prosecutor was saying something about the grand jury. Didn't make no sense to nobody, but the man is still out on the streets. So you can check that out on the national news, or you can Google it. It made national headlines for a moment. Also locally here, I'm working on the Community Unity Repair Program, which takes juveniles, youth, and employs them. I'm trying to get the city to fund the Community Unity Repair Program, which is the city has $200 million that we just passed a bond levy, which is supposed to be to reduce crime and to help the people, all the people. I told the mayor the other day when I talked to him, Mayor Andrew Ginther, I talked with the mayor and I said, look, we're part of the all. Aren't we part of the all the people down here in the hood? So I'm trying to put the neighbor back into the hood, make it a neighborhood again. He created a Department of Neighborhoods. He did that in response to what me and some of the brothers did, because we were marching to try to save the neighborhood house on the east side of Columbus. So we now have a Department of Neighborhoods. It's been around about 5, 6, 7 years. But they still haven't come up to speed with what we need done. We got new body cameras for all the police. We've had several meetings about that. All the Columbus police and even the Franklin County sheriffs, we're going to make them wear body cameras. They can't turn them off. They turn them off and they do anything, they're going to be guilty. We've got a civilian review board here in Columbus that we fought to get, been fighting for 50 years to get, but it doesn't have very much clout. But at least we've got one. So we're making a progress. On the national scene, I've got a program where I'm trying to get a reparations program for the HBCUs, the Historic Black Colleges and Universities. I'm working on trying to get all the land-grant colleges that were stolen from us in 1863. They stole the land-grant colleges from us after they were made in 1863 by Senator Morrill, and I'm trying to get the land-grant colleges to put together a fund of money, but I need some HBCU colleges to step to the forefront. I contacted Jackson State, but I haven't got any response with that. Also on a national level, Queen Mother Dr. Deloise Blakely has got an eviction notice. She's the provisional mayor of Harlem. Queen Mother Dr. Deloise Blakely, you know her. If you've ever watched Whoopi Goldberg play in the movie Sister Act, the movie Sister Act 1 and Sister Act 2 is a story of the Harlem Street Nun. Well, that was Dr. Blakely. She was the original Harlem Street Nun. She is the provisional mayor of Harlem right now. And because of mortgage fraud and predatory lending, they've given her an eviction notice and trying to put her and her disabled daughter out of their home there in Harlem and take the property. It's a multi-complex property on 147th Street. Also nationally, Bob Brown, who was Stokely Carmichael's right-hand man, you would know Stokely Carmichael as Kwame Ture, as he changed his name. Bob Brown has put together open letters to the Pope and the Catholic Church, in which he's not asking for reparations like Queen Mother is. Bob is, number one, demanding that the Pope and the Catholic Church rescind 104 papal bulls that sanctioned chattel slavery, to rescind them, to overturn them, to overrule them, to repeal them. And number two, he's asking for every African student, African-American student, and poor student as well to get a library card so they can do research on slavery and other related issues at the Vatican, Harvard University, Yale University, all the major universities, a library card to be issued by the Catholic Church to get into the hands of you know, a billion-plus students all over the world, African-American students all over North America, South America. Thirdly, Bob Brown is asking the Catholic Church, demanding that they train these students of scholars, teams of scholars, to do the research. So those are the three things that he's pushing the Catholic Church to do. He's going to Rome on the 25th of this month. Bob lives in, Robert Brown is his full name. We call him Bob Brown. He's going to Rome to the Vatican on the 25th of January. I don't know if he'll be able to see the Pope or not, but he's going on the 25th to Rome. And I told him he is the prophet to the Roman Catholic Church. Whether he accepts that or not, or wants to believe that or not, that's what he's doing. He's trying to get, he's offering the Roman Catholic Church the opportunity to repent and to turn from their wicked and evil ways. He's offering them the chance to do that. So I call him the prophet to the Roman Catholic Church, Brother Bob Brown. You can Google him, and you'll see him and Kwame Ture and many of the photographs together. They started SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, back in the day. They did a number of other kinds of things with the Black Panthers. So Bob is still around, still alive. He's in his 70s. And as you know, a racehorse's last leg is his best. So Bob Brown is the prophet to the Catholic Church. That's on a national level. International level, the Jerusalem Chronicle newspaper just came out. We're trying to build some unity amongst all of the positive groups, the Hebrew Israelite groups, the Israelites that live in Dimona, Israel. There are about 5,000 that live in Dimona. Left Chicago, New York, and other places in 1970s with Elder Mikael. He's in the paper on the last page, and a few others. And eventually Ben-Ami took over, and Prince Asiel Ben Israel took over. But they came later. They weren't the first ones to go. But we have a lot of people in Israel. I represent them as the ambassador when I go to the United Nations along with other indigenous people. My Cherokee people, my Seminole people, all the bloodlines that I have in my family. So on an international level, we're still walking around in the wilderness trying to get reparations because people can't get along. Minister Louis Farrakhan is very sick with the Nation of Islam. We saw him lying in the bed on social media with people around him. The Moorish Americans are disunited. If Minister Farrakhan passes, I'm sure it's going to be a big stink in the Nation of Islam. Then you also got all the Christian churches are divided up into fiefdoms, little bitty pieces. They don't want to talk to each other. And a lot of them that run those organizations are sambos, as you talk about them very well put. And we're all divided up. So we're walking around in the wilderness. Now, you can get a lot done in the wilderness. Organize in the wilderness. You get a lot done, but right now we're all modern-day economic sharecroppers. Tennessee Ernie Ford had a song out a long time ago, loading 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and a deeper in debt. You know, tell St. Peter I can't go because I owe my soul to the company stove. That's basically what causes a lot of the problems because we're modern-day economic sharecroppers. We can't get out of debt, and all this debt piles up on the credit card debt. You know, then you got your car, your mortgage, your rent, your utilities. A lot of people are making trillions and trillions of quote-unquote dollars, even though it's fiat money. But they've got us under control. They've got us. And we've got to try to get off the plantation. So I founded the Economic Rights Movement when I was in Michigan, May 1st, 2010. That's been 13 years ago. The Economic Rights Movement seeks to get us out of this modern-day sharecropping mentality and economic condition. And what you're doing with the boycotts and all of that, not buying on certain days, that needs a national program all over the country. That needs to go through all. But the problem that we're going to have, I'm going to support you 100%. The problem we're going to have is that you're going to have a lot of people that won't support it. A lot of leaders, sambos, are going to say, no, we can't do this. We can't do that. You know, but we spread our money around like it's chicken feed. We're scattered anywhere. We need to have some targeted buying. We need to buy from people that support us. And then we need to not buy on certain days, just like you're talking about. So I hope that you put that down in writing, get that to me, get that to everybody around the nation, and then we're going to see who is really about economic rights, and we're going to see who is about being sambos on a national level. And that's what we got to do. And do just like the scripture says, when we see the sambos, to the scripture that says, mark those among you that cause divisions. It's in the Bible. Mark those among you. Name those. Call them out. And that's what you're doing, and I'm very proud of you. But that's my report down here in Columbus, Ohio. Minister Kujenga Elijah Ashe, Ambassador for the Most High. I yield the floor, Reverend Pinckney, and thank you for your very valuable time and your great show.
Absolutely. But you wrote. I was reading that letter. That who was that wrote that letter? I can't remember off the top of my head. I can't remember who it is.
Who was the letter to?
You sent me a letter.
You want the letter to the Pope?
Yeah, right. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, the letter to the Pope was written by Bob Brown.
Uh-huh.
Tommy Therese's right hand man for many years. He's in Washington D.C. Like I said, the letter to the Pope has an attachment with 104 papal bulls, which are like laws or mandates that the Catholic Church used to sanction chattel slavery. And he's demanding that they repeal, repudiate, and rescind those 104 papal bulls going all the way back to 1313 with Prince Henry the Navigator. So that letter was from Bob Brown. And like I said, he's going to Rome on the 25th of this month to the Vatican. And he's demanding the Catholic Church overturn those, and then he's also demanding they give a library card to every African-American student around the world and every poor student, and that they organize teams of students and teach them how to be researchers to find out what in the world went on with slavery and how we got to this point. Because all the things we talk about in the family and the broken families and all that comes out of slavery, the slave tradition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they bred us like cattle. You know, they treated us like animals and dogs and sheep and cows and horses. And, you know, we still haven't broke out of that mentality even yet today. And then they threw the drugs in on top of that and the guns on top of that and poverty. And that's what do you get? You know, you got some people doing quite well, some people overcoming. But, you know, the other half of the folks in the community are just living from hand to mouth, from day to day, and doing whatever they can to try to be happy. If that means drugs or alcohol or whatever, that's what they do. So that was Bob Brown's letter. That was Bob Brown's letter I sent to you.
Oh, wow. That was a great letter. I really enjoyed that. But one more question before I let you go. Do you think that these evil, wicked people will ever give us a reparation? Do you know what reparation would do for us? It'll level the playing field.
Well, it's not really something that they can really give us. We have to, in essence, take our reparations Frederick Douglass says power yields nothing without a demand. We've got to organize just by what you're talking about doing, not buying on certain days, then buying from different people and certain people, certain companies. We've got to organize ourselves and put so much pressure on them that they can't do anything but hand over what they owe us. So that's on us. You know, reparations is really on us. It's not on the monopoly finance capitalists, the one percenters. They're going to do what they do. They're only going to do what they have to do. But when we organize properly and get ourselves together, we will get our reparations when we come out of this wilderness. We're going around in the wilderness for 40 years in a circle. You know, 1619 to 2019 was 400 years, quote unquote, the spiritual curse, if you believe in that thing, is over. So now it's time to go into the promised land, but we can't get to the promised land because we're like crabs in a barrel, you know. Every time crab gets to the top, another crab pull it down. So, you know, then the FBI and the ProIntelco and all that stuff, they said they would never let another black man, African-American man, whatever you want to call yourself, reach the status of a Martin Luther King Jr. So we've just elected Martin Luther King's cousin as the president of the Baptist Ministerial Alliance here in Columbus. We're going to install him tomorrow, head of the alliance, Joel L. King Jr. He's going to be installed as president. I'm going to be installed. I'm the chaplain and the benevolent secretary, 12 o'clock noon here in Columbus at Family Baptist Church, one of the most activist church in the city, pastored by Dr. Frederick Lamar. We're going to be installed tomorrow, and we've been raising hell down here in the city of Columbus. We got them to do the body cameras. We got them on the stick to overturn all kinds of rules and regulations. We're fighting in the courts to get people's records expunged. We're doing all kinds of rumors in hell down here in Columbus, and we're going to take and let Joel L. King, Martin Luther King Jr.'s first cousin, lead the charge with the Baptist Ministerial Alliance and our Civic Betterment Committee starting tomorrow. We'll install him and myself and other leaders here in Columbus, and we interview every local politician. Every local politician, have judges and all, have to come sit in front of us, the Civic Betterment Committee. We are not a nonprofit, so we can do what we want to do. We're not nonprofit. The Baptist Pastors Conference is a nonprofit, but we're not nonprofit. We're not 501c3 or 4, none of that. So our hands are free to say and do what we want to do. And every politician has to come sit in front of us and explain themselves. They have to, we set them down to explain yourself, and we record them on video. And every judge, every Franklin County, every Columbus official, every judge and works in Franklin County, all the mayor, all the county sheriff, the people that run for the state of Ohio, even federal positions, all of them sit before me and Reverend Joel L. King and Pastor Frederick Lamar and Pastor Goff and Elder Larry Price, Bishop Hezekiah Martin, Pastor Nathaniel Carter. All of them have to come sit in front of us to get our endorsement or our support. And we issue them a letter of support, and then that allows them to go around to the churches and talk and do what they have to do to get elected. If they don't get our letter of support, they usually don't win, and they're not accepted into the churches because they say, where's your letter from the Civic Betterment Committee? I don't have a letter. Well, you can't come in here. So we're raising hell down here in Columbus, Reverend Pinkney. We're fighting with both feet and both hands.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm going to say this, then I'm going to let you go. We've been fighting to get things expunged here, and this is a miracle now. It was already approved back in October that what's going to happen is that if you have two felonies and three misdemeanors, they automatically drop off your record, which is I thought we was only asking for one felony and the misdemeanors to be dropped off. But now what they did, they added a felony, which now you can get rid of two felonies
and as many misdemeanors as possible off your record, which I thought was incredible. And that was, you know, the work of the Banco and the ACLU. We went to work, mm-hmm. and matter of fact, I wrote the plan out for them. Like, my plan was, I would have been satisfied with one felony, but they gave us two. So I'm excited, and it just shows what you can do. If you don't fight, mm-hmm. you can't. You see, and like I said,
amen.
You know, this stuff coming from us, you know, black folks, you know, they know that if you surround yourself with the right people, you can do a lot of stuff. So on that note,
amen. Amen goes right there, Reverend Pinkney. Amen. You got to fight.
Yeah.
And we've come a long way by fighting. We got a long way to go, but we've come a long way by fighting.
There you go. And I believe in fighting for everything. There's nothing, you know,
that's
I don't
right.
care what it is. I believe in fighting
They're not going to give us reparations for free. They're not going to give us anything for free. We got to fight it. We got to earn it. We got to work at it. And that's what we're doing here. That's what you're doing there. And that's why I'm so glad to know you. That's why I'm so very glad to be acquainted with you and to call you my brother and my friend.
Amen. Right on, my brother. All right, then, listen, we'll talk soon. Thank you for coming on the show, and we're going to move to the next level. Take care of yourself, and
okay.
Happy New Year to you and your wife. Love y'all, and let's continue this fight.
Yes.
All
yeah,
right.
We'll stay in touch.
All right. Okay, let me bring in the one and only Belinda Parker Brown. You actually did not knock you down. Belinda Parker Brown. It's Belinda Parker Brown. Is there such thing as a Belinda Parker Brown? There's no such person on this earth.
Hey,
named
Pastor Brown.
What's up, girl? It's going down. I tell you,
yes,
boy. You know, I got a circle of wagons around here, though. They got me surrounded, girl. They coming from all angles.
Yes.
They coming from beneath the ground and everything. They coming out of every hole that you can think of. They coming, Belinda. But I'm ready. I put on my with the whole arm on them.
That's right. That's right, Pastor Pinkney. That's right. You ready? And that's because they coming because you're doing some great and mighty work. And like my minister Ashe, my brother, said that, you know, we're so to know such a man like you, Pastor Pinkney, that have boots on the ground, that's a mover and a shaker, and you're not scared or afraid of anything or anybody. So, and we're getting some things done. We're getting some great things done to help our people, Pastor Pinkney. I'm so, you know, I'm just so pleased with that, and just to be on the show today with you and listening to all the great things that Minister Ashe is doing and the great work and plans for the future coming in 2023.
Amen. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, that happened, I had wrote out this program back in, I'm going to say, at the beginning of October, the end of September. We were requesting that they expunge people's records, and the way we wanted them to do it, we wanted them to do it automatically. And, you know, and that was unheard of. That was unprecedented. Now, you know, when you want to have something expunged, you got to go before the judge, and he makes the decision whether it's going to be expunged or not. If he doesn't like you, it's not going to be expunged. But now you don't have to do nothing. Only thing, if you got a felony, it is automatic. Remove automatic. I said,
wow,
I
that's
you know.
Awesome. Wow, that
yeah.
is awesome, Pastor Pinkney. And you know what? I'm looking forward to that because I know a lot of young people there that have these misdemeanors. And you know, actually, I caught a misdemeanor there in
mm-hmm.
Michigan, and I need
yeah.
that off my record. Is you know, it, you know, I don't know if you remember or not because I think you know, you might have been involved with, what was that prosecutor name? Cleveland. You remember him?
Right, Cleveland. Yeah, that clown. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was such a clown. You know, that man told me that he was not going to even prosecute that frivolous charge against me where, you know, they called it innkeeping or something like that, where, you know, the Big Boys restaurant, you know, that restaurant is shut down now. They're not even heard of anymore. Because they messed with me and gone live, you know, messed up the food, was poisoning people, killing people on their food and stuff. You know, people was getting all kinds of food poisons and diseases because it was filthy. And, I filed a complaint against them, and then they turned around and tried to prosecute me on some innkeeping charges. You know, I still don't know what that means. But anyhow, you know, it was a misdemeanor. And, you know, Mr. Cleveland said that he wasn't going to prosecute it, and I wind up, you know, he lied to me and wind up prosecuting on a false police report, and it was terrible. And, you know, it went away, but anyhow, I just think that people got these frivolous, you know, felonies, these charges and misdemeanors and stuff that they never should have had in the first place, and to drop them off, that means a lot. You know, that means a lot to people to try to get a fresh start.
Absolutely. And Belinda, you know, the most important thing, you don't have to do nothing. It happens automatic, because I've been in the courtroom with a lot of people, and the judge, it's up to the judge to make the decision whether he's going to drop it
right.
or not. And
the judge, the sheriff, it's the DA, the judge, the sheriff, all of them have to, and the clerk of court, all of them have to agree to get those charges expunged. And then it costs a lot of money. It can cost you up to $5,000 to $10,000, you know, because you got to have a lawyer and all of that to get that stuff expunged.
So that's why this is so important.
It's so important, Pastor Pinckney.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing. I mean, people should be really excited about that. I mean, that is some great news going into the new year, 2023.
What do black people get excited about? If black people don't get excited about nothing somebody else do, they have to do it, and it got to affect them directly. And some guys, you know, and the reason why I said it automatically dropped off, the reason why I put that in there, because I know black people ain't gonna go out and do what needs to be done to have it removed. I know they're not going to do that. But, you know, this is a miracle, though, you know. So now they don't have to do nothing. All they have to do, if they got one, when the tab was to be dropped off, it's going to be automatically dropped off. So they don't have to do nothing. And that's how, this is why we're in this position we're in today. Look, it's no accident we're in this position. It's no accident. You know, we got to start re-educating our people. We got to start re-educating our people. And if we don't do that, we're going to dig ourselves even a bigger hole than what we are. See, they done brought them in some new Negroes. They, you know, that's what they doing out at that border. They bringing in some new Negroes. That's what they doing. They said, you know, the old Negroes, you know, ain't worth a nickel. So I'm going to bring some new Negroes in here to take their place, to show them who we are.
Well, Pastor Pinckney, you know, when you say that our people, one of the things that I'm learning, and I learned, you know, a lot of this from you, is that, first of all, we're so busy, and they keep us being the busiest people in the world,
right.
You know.
There you go.
And then, you know, we work all our lives, and we don't have nothing to show for it. You know, we're busy doing everything, and we ain't got nothing to show for that. You know, if you step back and take a real close look, you know, most of us, you know, we bent over. You know, they done broke us all the way down to the 10th power until we ain't worth nothing. And so then we got this attitude that you hollering about, you know, you don't care, I don't care, they going to do whatever, they going to do this, they going to do that, they did this, they done that. But the truth of the matter is that we do care. You do care. And you do want to do something about it. And then when you find out what you can do, can't be afraid. You know, join up with Banco. Get with Pastor Pinckney. You know, get with Minister Ashe. You know, be a part of something. You know, if you can't do it by yourself, then join up and unite with other movements or other groups of people that are doing something. Don't just sit back on the sidelines and gaze and stare and complain and come up with all of these 999 excuses and you shoulda, coulda, woulda and all that kind of stuff. Stop that. You know, Pastor Pinckney, I wanted to ask you, you know, when you see what's happening to you know, the Uhuru movement and the African Socialist Party, you know, these were people that were doing big things. I mean, great things on a whole nother level. You know, these people were buying up churches, you know, building basketball courts, you know, I just totally reviving communities and you know, grocery stores, you know, furniture stores, you know, all kinds of stuff, and showing people, black people, that we can actually have our own resources, our own sustainability. We don't need to go to them for nothing. And then those people get attacked by that. That's something, Pastor Pinkney.
Well, that's what they do. You know, they do. That's what this government do. That's what the FBI do. That's how this system is. It's designed to keep you from. And then what it did is not just for blacks back. It's not just for them. It's for the people outside to take a look at this. This is what will happen to you if you step out of line. If you decide that you're going to do something for black folks. Black folks don't want you to do nothing for them. Now, you know, so this is why this all happened. Everything they do is not for against that person. It's against the community. It's against the surrounding areas. Because black people, you know, they want you to think they tough, but they not. They so scared of the jail and government that they don't even know which way is up. That's how afraid they are. Not all of them. But that's how they do. And they know that people, when you talk about somebody going to jail, you should see how black folks, they start running. That's why they run when the police pull them over. The first thing they going to do is run. You know, they
out running. And, you know, another thing too, Pastor Pinkney, you know, when you say that black folks don't want us to do nothing for them, you know, I'm just thinking now because I'm looking at a whole lot. You know, I was with my little nephew today. You know, he's like about 10, 11 years old. And you know, I'm just looking at how some of these people live. They all up in these trailer, you know, just run down. I mean, matchbox. I mean, just, you know, living on a junkyard. This is what their house looked like. The house looked like they living on a junkyard. Okay, and I mean, all this broken down stuff in front of their house, you know, pop cans, beer bottles, and no running water in the house. I mean, just dilapidated. I mean, just towed up from the floor up, somebody might say. And they living like this, okay? And I'm just thinking, Pastor Pinkney, what is the problem? You know, is this all they can accept? Is this a total? I mean, you know, is it that bad that they didn't just roll over and just said, you know, stick it to me?
Yeah, and you know what, Belinda, one of the things, a lot of times people only do what they know to do. If you know, if to live in a trailer, and in some cases, some people think, you know, like. You see a lot of white folks living in trailers. That's why they call them white trailer trash. But black folks normally don't live in trailers. But that's all they know. If they don't know no more, that's just the way it is. A lot of times you can only do what you know. You know, no matter what it is.
And that's right. They done messed the people up so bad, Pastor Pinkney, that they don't, like you said, that's all they know. They don't know no better. That's all they have. They don't have anything other than that. And it's really sad because, you know, and then this is what really gets to me when they can't fight for something better. You know, at least that just thinking about your condition or looking around and seeing what your condition is, at least to me that should make you want to fight. And join up with Banco and be a part of something or somebody doing something because all you know that look at your condition, you know don't let that get you in such a rut that you can't rise up above that and get with somebody to do something so you can get better.
Yeah, but you know down here what they do, people like in public and stuff like that, people be scared to talk to me. Because they scared that the white man going to see them, somebody from Whirlpool or Cornerstone Alliance going to see them
and they have to sneak and talk. I mean, man, get on out of here with that mess, you know. That's why I don't need to talk to them, you know. And they be trying to speak and want to talk, or they'll call me on the phone and well, I don't talk to you. I'll see you at City Hall or somewhere. I'll see you down there. That's the time I'm talking to you, because I know you ain't up to no good. But they be so
right,
scared.
They don't want the salvo. They don't want the salvo to go back and tell on you. That's why.
These folks, man, they something else. You know, I can't see why they want white folks to like them so much. I don't get that. Somebody have to tell me what's so important about these white folks liking you. I don't see it, Belinda. I mean, if they didn't like me, I wouldn't care. Just one less person I have to talk to. That's how I look at it. Man,
well,
I don't know.
I want to say this, Pastor Pickney, before we get off the show. I know we're running out of time, but I think in 2023, we really need to take a self-check evaluation. You know, look around.
Uh-huh.
You know, look
uh-huh.
in your yard. Look in your house. You know, you don't need all of that stuff. You don't need all of that junk and stuff around you. You know, this stuff
mm-hmm.
is what's in dumbness that I think people need to start cleaning up from the inside out, Pastor Pickney. Just get
yeah.
you a wreck. You can afford a wreck. Go to the garage store and buy you a wreck and start raking up, you know, start raking up all of that garbage and piling it up and getting rid of it. You know, this is one thing. We got too much baggage. We got too much junk.
Yeah.
You know, we got too
mm-hmm.
much stuff. Don't nobody want your stuff. You know, get rid of that stuff. And I'm telling you, Pastor Pickney, when people start doing this, you know, that was something about, you know, when the COVID hit. That was the first thing, you know, that the whole world was shut down. And can't nobody
mm-hmm.
go nowhere. Now we know that it's possible that can be done. So, one of the things that came to me was that, you know, a lot of people leaving here, you know, people was dying and everything, but they was leaving all of their junk. I mean, just
yeah.
stuff everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
So it's time to clean up. Somebody said clean up and shut up
mm-hmm.
and clean up.
There you go. I got you, girl. But listen,
from
we're out
inside
of town.
Out.
There you go, girl. It's going down. That's all I can tell you.
And
oh, wow.
I know your house is clean as a pen, Pastor Pickney, because Dr. B.
If I have one more piece of meat on the plate, I better get it fast because that plate done, you know, and washed, you know. So if I look up and see her, that $4
right.
that piece of meat going in my mouth.
I'd rather stay at your house than the hotel. You so clean, man.
She keeps this house clean, boy. And I don't say nothing though when she said take off your shoes, because all I can say, well, she's the one got to clean up, so I can take off my shoes. You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. But that's a beautiful thing, though, because the Bible say that, you know, holiness is next to cleanliness. And it's time for some of these people to just to start cleaning up, you know, and start from the inside out. That's all I got to say,
yeah.
Pastor Pickney, on the show today.
All right, girl. Hey, listen, next week, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, I want my good friend Annette to come. 1 o'clock tomorrow, Annette, I got you on the radio with me. Me and you going to talk a little bit tomorrow, 1 o'clock, so be ready for it. Annette, I got you. We're going to talk about Yeah, we're going to talk about the hamburgers at Mickey D's and Burger King. We're going to boycott them until they go out of business. On that note, good night, all. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, same time, my time. Talk to you soon.